have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
1, 2, 3, I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, doctor,
doctor,
Mr. MD,
doctor,
now can you tell me?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. We've had some technical problems here today, and Frank, I know you're going to help me work on those. We are going to be talking about some really interesting things this hour. We're going to be talking about our pets, our wonderful little pets, and we've got a lot to talk about in the Quack Report, and we may even get to cover some things about fatty liver, but before we get to all that wonderful stuff, a big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. If you're seeking the Lord's face and minding the time, that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing to seek the Lord and spend some time with Him. And we all learn some things every day when we seek the Lord's face, read His scripture, and get close to the Lord. And today's devotional puts us in Philippians 1. It says, being confident in this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So when the Lord gets here, that's when your path, your mission is completed, and you hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Hopefully it's what we want to hear. So mind the time, make it short. So seek the word of God, and that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the Quack Report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up in the Quacker, apparently we've got 4 out of 10 adults living with gastrointestinal disorders. Probably worse now. It's probably compounded now with the lockdown virus thing. New study, though, saying gastrointestinal disorders, very common. Are they normal? No, it's not normal, but it is common. According to some research that got published in the Journal of Gastroenterology, adults across the globe, not just in the United States, that's like 73,000 people in 33 countries have this problem. You know, it's acid reflux, GERD, irritable bowel syndrome. Apparently, it's an epidemic, but and we have more people suffering from that than we do the coronavirus. But, you know, 24 countries, including the United States, did conduct a study. Only 7 countries, including India and Indonesia, used an in-person interview for the data, and they said it was striking how similar the findings were between countries. Well, you know, and it's not so surprising because you've got agricultural problems globally, and you've got chemicals, pesticides, herbicides causing a lot of problems for us all. And we're going to talk about that, too, for our pets. Moving along, next up in the Quack Report, hey, here's something on the COVID virus. The WHO yesterday on the 8th made a statement in their Geneva headquarters. They said that people that are asymptomatic carriers of the virus, in other words, they have the virus but they don't get sick, they don't spread the virus, they said. It's very rare if they do. So what's up with the masks and the social distancing then? Right. So that's the WHO. They just blew the mass social distancing thing out of the water. And last but not least in the Quack Report, Lancet has retracted some fake science studies that were published on the hydroxychloroquine. So this was a study that said the hydroxychloroquine was dangerous, ineffective, and it was in the Lancet journal. Okay. The paper originally appeared May 22nd. It was a United Kingdom-based journal article. Very prestigious, the Lancet is. And so it got published. Fake news, fake science got published. The Lancet said it pulled the study because the authors were unable to complete an independent audit of the data underpinning their analysis. As a result, they have concluded that they can no longer vouch for the veracity of the primary data sources in the study. They also published a related study in the New England Journal of Medicine. So, in other words, if you can't do the peer review thing, if you can't prove that your data isn't fake, they shouldn't be getting published. So this is why people have lost faith in science when you get propaganda over scientific facts rolling in. And that's what your doctors are reading. Just FYI. And that wraps the Quack Report. Thanks, Frank. Okay. We're going to be talking about pet health here. I love pets. You know, I know you do too, Frank. You've got cats and you've got chickens and just, you know, pets in general, big pet owners out there. While we're talking about pet health a little bit, we got a few snippets of information that may be important to you. And we're going to be maybe shedding some light on some things you may not be aware of with regard to pet treatments. Because we've compared the downward side of the human health over the last generation. What about the pet health side? How do our domesticated pets fare in health status today compared to just 50 years ago? Well, pet owners over 50 are, well, they know that veterinarian care has dramatically changed. So in less than one generation, veterinarian clinics have begun treating pets with humanistic type diseases. So vets now have cancer radiation treatment facilities, and we often hear of the zoonotic diseases that jumps from the animals to infect the humans, but we also now see human viruses now infect animals. It's a reverse zoonotic diseases situation. Right now we got over 2,500,000 dogs just in the United States alone. So we're going to take a look, see what we found. So when we got diseases that go from animal to human, that's not good. Not supposed to do that. In the last decade or so, the media headlines have shown that there are a lot of animal diseases that have invaded human health, like AIDS, SARS, encephalitis, which you get from vaccines because the vaccines are cultured on animal tissue and you pick up the viruses and it gives you encephalitis. Also, henny paraviruses, which are your respiratory diseases, and your H1N1. Now, from human to animal, now that's a little different. When we look at the reverse zoonosis, we see zoo animals and lab animals infected with human respiratory viruses, also known as the paramyia oxyviruses, which cause about 10% of the respiratory infections. So scientists have seen this uptick of human infections in animals, especially those located in zoo parks and nature preserves, and they're blaming it on human encroachment of these animals. I personally think it's more like the scientists took over these areas to conduct experiments to force these diseases to infect the animals. It is also called forced environmental mutation by science. So human infections, we now know, have kind of crossed to animals, and examples would be influenzas, and, of course, the H1N1, which was originally just a bird flu, but now has been forced to be mutated to infect other species and humans. So, you know, pigs and goats and everybody else is getting the H1N1. Well, they're putting it in vaccines, see. So you get this cross-infection with a lot of your vaccine product. So a lot of cross-infection is accomplished with vaccine serums. So pets now receive more than just the rabies shot. And recently, vet virologists have published research showing that the kennel cough Bordetella vaccine gives pets leukemia. So what most people don't know, there's a little bit of history to the Bordetella vaccine. Now, Frank, do you know about Bordetella vaccines? Does anybody out there know? If you're not familiar with Bordetella vaccines are given to your pet if you're going to board them, you know, because they'll get what is called kennel cough, so they want to prevent the kennel cough. But the only thing is Bordetella vaccines never work. Your pet usually gets Bordetella kennel cough anyway. He says it sounds like a mushroom. Yeah, it does, doesn't it, Frank? Well, here's a little history on the Bordetella kennel cough that vets, you know, try to inoculate your pet against. It was developed by a pediatrician, Lila Denmark, in the 1930s, and she used a whole cell dead pathogen, and it was a form of a pertussis bacteria. And you know what pertussis is for. It's for whooping cough. So it was included in the childhood vaccines called DTWP until around the 1990s. So it was then given to pets, but it wasn't called pertussis or whooping cough. It was, as it was in the childhood vaccines, it was called just Bordetella for kennel cough. See this cross-infecting going on here? So, you know, new market, we're not going to use it in humans. Let's use it for pets. And if we're not using it for pets, new market, let's use it for humans. That's typically how it goes. And then we've got, with our pet health now, we've got our nutritional glut going on. 50 years ago, there were no emerging zoonotic diseases that the public knew about. The way we fed domesticated pets was also different 50 years ago. People fed pets table scraps or the dog food, but the dog food then was more of a whole food ingredient product. Modern day pet food is more highly processed to become more of a denatured product. So the human food market has become much of the same, with additives and byproducts, preservatives and agricultural chemicals working its way into the soil and into the very fiber of the plants and also the animals. So pesticide residues and herbicides, they're all carcinogenic. And nutrient-deficient soil produces foods without sufficient minerals and vitamins and other nutrients to keep us humans and our pets healthy. So the GMO element has also taken a hit on all living things. It's a hard hit, causing many different types of diseases such as cancer. So we've got a lot coming out against the well-being of the way we were designed to be healthy and well. Then don't forget the gluten, because, you know, pets are bloated with gluten now. In 1945, the U.S. grain was mutated to be more glutinous, and it created celiac disease in humans, and pets also became highly allergic, and it caused dental disease in pets as well as digestive dysfunction in your pets. It gives them a yeast overgrowth condition, causes real systemic yeast problems, and then you get hot spots breaking out, almost like your pet has acne, a lot of sores, and their hair falls out. It's bad. It's really bad. So what all this did when they started cross-infecting animals and humans and creating a need for what is called nutrigenomics. So this is the area of, you know, designer pets, also in this area, and that kind of complicated the health of our pets when they went, you know, designer pets. When man, you know, messes with the genetics, really is never a good idea. So pets with special diets, diabetic injections, skin disorders, all now kind of common problem. Now, pure breeding is not normal either in nature, but it did create special problems. Like in certain breeds, they were more susceptible to parvo viruses and distemper. Okay. And let's not forget the exotic pet element people have in monkeys and chimps, exotic birds, pigs, flying squirrels as pets. And when you have these types of pets and you're having them in a domesticated environment, they're required to be get what? Vaccinated. So then you've got more cross-infection going on. These animals, they need to be vaccinated to be compliant if they're in a domesticated pet scenario. So a lot of it can give your exotic pets diseases like encephalitis. So cause them to kind of go haywire. So personally, I like to just fight back with nutrition on a lot of this stuff. I don't panic, especially with pandemics, because I know there are a lot of herbal solutions available. If you would like to learn more on how you can protect yourself from what appears to be the endless string of plagues, then give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call. It kind of takes the worry and panic out of the equation when you have a solution at hand. So give them a call, Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com is the web address, ThePowerHerbs.com. Now, if you're there on their website, check out their, in their pet area, they have, a great product called Power Greens for Pets. Get rid of those hot spots on your pet. Just help them purge a lot of the toxins that they have. Free product catalog from the folks there. That's where your healthcare options just became endless for yourself and for your pets. They have pandemic kits and a whole lot more. So do check them out, thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. and get empowered. All right, so we got a few minutes before we got to do a little break here. I've gotten some calls about fatty livers recently, so we've touched on this topic before, so I thought, hey, you know, good opportunity to revisit. Some of us could have a fatty liver, and many of us don't know that we have one. 15 million Americans in just the U.S., approximately 90 to 100% of these people already have, or soon will know they have, a fatty liver. That's astonishing. So modern medicine puts people in two categories for fatty liver, the non-alcohol type and the other category, which would be obesity and alcohol consumption type. So there really is a third category, which science really tends to ignore, and that is liver problems caused by prescription drugs. Yep, prescription drugs can damage the liver. So what is really a fatty liver? Well, the liver accumulates some fat cells. Interestingly, medical science does not call a fatty liver with some fat cells a disease. They just call it fatty liver. They don't really think it's much of a disease. And you might ask, why? You know? Well, because it's very likely that if there is no permanent damage, no scar tissue or cancer, they think the condition can be reversed with just some inexpensive, simple methods. So it's not really a disease. You don't need them. Also, science is not precisely sure how our fatty liver gets all kind of clogged up with the fat cells anyway. And it could be a digestive or a metabolic problem. It could be also a genetic problem. You officially have a fatty liver if the weight of the liver increases by 5 to 10%. So usually they can kind of get a weight on the liver if you're interested in that. So a healthy adult liver is about 3 pounds, okay? A fatty liver is going to weigh more like 4 or 5 pounds. If you've seen any of these autopsy shows, that they'll weigh the liver, and that's how they get that fatty liver diagnosis or listing on the death certificate. So this is why medical examiners will weigh the vital organs during an autopsy. It helps determine maybe cause of death. So if the liver gets fatty, it slows down the normal function of this organ. It causes inflammation, and you could also be at a higher risk of developing hepatitis. So if the condition is not reversed, you can get fibrosis and cirrhosis of the liver with a lot of scar tissue, and that can develop within 10 to 15 years. So kind of slow moving, you know, so that's why it's so gradual. And it's estimated 20 to 40% of individuals who are grossly overweight do run a higher risk of this happening. So an indication of being overweight is excess fat around the waist. Now for women, if your waist is 35 inches or greater, and if men, if your waist is 40 inches or greater, time to start looking at options. What are some of the medical treatments? Well, if you go to your medical doctor, they will want to take a blood sample to check for elevated liver enzymes. If the enzymes are elevated, it is an indication that damage is already affecting the liver. So then your doctor may want to take a sample of your liver tissue, a biopsy, to check. And if you object to cutting into the liver or puncturing it for the biopsy, then maybe an ultrasound or CT scan may be an option to indicate if the liver is enlarged. For overweight individuals with a fatty liver, they are treated with they're usually treated for obesity and diabetes to try to correct the problem. So let's say you're not a drinker. You're not an alcohol category fatty liver person. So if you're not a drinker, you don't drink alcohol, and you do have a fatty liver, you may have inherited weak liver genes, or your lifestyle has been contributing to what has caused the condition. So over time, the liver will enlarge. The liver cells can be replaced with scar tissue called non-alcoholic cirrhosis. And if it is very likely, maybe the liver could fail or develop even cancer. So a lot of the health experts say sick livers are on the rise by 20% increase in adults. That's about 6 million Americans, and they're seeking treatment. Rates are up in Asian and Hispanic children as well by 3%, and they blame it on the high fructose corn syrup that children are consuming and really bad diets. So in America, more than half of the children, 53%, are overweight, may even be considered on the borderline of obese. They have fatty livers, and the children as young as 4 years of age can fall into that category, which is outrageous, really. Outrageous. So if you are a non-drinker, what are the risks? Well, there are several factors that can contribute to fatty liver if you don't drink alcohol. As mentioned, heredity can be part of it. This illness also likes to rear its ugly head in middle-aged individuals, especially those who are a little overweight or maybe even obese. If you suffer from high cholesterol or triglycerides, you're at risk as having higher development of fatty liver. If you are pre-diabetic or diabetic, your risk of increasing a fatty liver is higher as well. If you have digestive disease of the small intestine, like Crohn's disease, you're at a higher risk as well. And if you have a viral hepatitis or maybe an autoimmune disease, your risk is also greater. People that are suffering from a lot of malnutrition or are they have an overload of iron, you know, just synthetic iron that are, you know, fortified cereals are full of it, they're at a risk as well, because you know how the liver can't handle too much storing of iron. So if you suffered from tuberculosis also as a kid, that could be a problem as well. So here are some of the liver problems if you do consume alcohol. That's the other category of fatty liver. According to science, if you consume a fair amount of alcohol on a regular basis, we're talking about drinking two or more alcoholic beverages per day. Maybe you're also a binge drinker, or you binge twice a week. You're going to fall into this category too. If you are a moderate drinker, for 10 or 15 years, let's say, your liver will later have problems. It'll just take longer to get there. If you are a heavy drinker for shorter periods of time, your liver will have problems also. So alcohol, no matter how you slice or dice it, if it's not in moderation, it's going to be a problem. Now let's get to some of the drugs that are culprits in creating fatty livers. If you're not drinking and you're not overweight, what's the deal? Well, prescription drugs that can make the liver ill, cause it to become fatty, are aspirin. So if you're on aspirin therapy, drugs for heart arrhythmia, calcium channel blockers, anti-inflammatory meds, cortisones, prednisones, corticosteroids, those things, cancer medications, estrogen medications, anti-epileptic drugs, tetracycline and carbon tetrachloride, which is a cleaning agent or refrigerant that you can absorb or breathe in. So let's say you're a mechanic or you fix refrigerators, you could be absorbing some of that and it can affect the liver. Well, we're going to come back and talk about drug combos right after this break, so don't go anywhere.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the prostate kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
"007, your assignment is to find out what herb secrets herbalist Wendy Wilson has on Herb Talk Live."
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Herb Talk Live has your HMO, Herb Medicine Options, coming up next.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010. Or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Skating right on into the second half. Okay, we're talking about fatty livers, and we got to that part where there's that non-alcohol fatty liver category and the alcohol fatty liver category, but medicine totally eliminates and refuses to look at the drug culprit category. Now, if you're mixing a bunch of prescription drugs, which I think is very dangerous, doctors and pharmacists really don't know what will happen after your first prescription, because the first prescription causes 100 chemical changes to your metabolism. So on a metabolic level, one drug can cause 100 different changes in you. So if you have two drugs, that's 100 times 100 changes, and medicine doesn't know what those changes are going to be. So every time you add a drug to that first drug, you're kind of playing chemical Russian roulette, and you risk hurting your liver when you take any prescription, really, because it's toxic. So to be more specific on deadly liver combos, you might want to avoid using antibiotics, HIV drugs, anti-cholesterol drugs, and so forth and so on. A good book to read about some of those metabolic issues on your medicine, especially on your heart drugs, would be Over-the-Counter Natural Cures by Shay Ellison. Very good book. I encourage you to maybe check it out of your library, if your libraries are open, or get one at your bookstore. So what are some of the liver symptoms? Well, if your liver decides to signal you that there's a problem, you may experience a few symptoms like a dull or nagging pain in the abdomen, weakness or nausea, some bloating and a lot of gas, flatulence. Your cholesterol will go higher and your blood pressure will go up. You may pick up some more weight. You may even get a yellow pigment to your skin. Many of these symptoms develop slowly and are often ignored or even overlooked by the individual and sometimes even the doctor. So be aware of that. Now, the Canadians to our north are having liver health problems as well as Americans. According to health authorities, about 50% of Canadians are overweight and 75% of them have fatty livers unless they want to make a lifestyle change. Changes are good for your liver if you go to a healthy diet. So fatty livers there, they're up 23% in Canada, correlates with the obesity rate actually over there. Also, nursing homes, there seems to be several ways to record fatty livers there. Malnutrition is one of the ways you can, your liver can get fatty, and nursing homes are notorious for not feeding their patients well. On the flip side, elderly in nursing homes may be giving intravenous type of nutrition on a long-term long-term care, and that'll always produce a fatty liver if you're getting intravenous types of nutrition. Let's look at the overall. If your liver is fatty and inflamed, it is going to be more vulnerable to diseases. Now, you've been hearing about the COVID-19, a lot of inflammation, underlying diseases. This is the perfect example of a virus taking advantage of your situation. Now, currently, there are no drugs really for fatty livers. It doesn't mean that there won't be in the future. There may even be a fatty liver vaccine, so be aware. So the effective methods of reversing fatty liver is permanent, and it's through diet changes and regular exercise. So your liver is an important organ, and you have to take care of it because your liver is responsible for filtering your blood, removing toxic substances from your body, storing vitamins, synthesizing cholesterol, metabolizing and storing sugars, assembling amino acids into proteins, controlling blood fluidity and regulating blood clotting, removing excess protein through the kidneys, and burning fat, mixing bile for the digestive system to absolutely have to have if you want to metabolize any fat whatsoever. So when your liver's healthy, not hard for you to lose weight. If your liver is fatty, the process is reversed. The liver stores the fat and you gain more weight. So other symptoms like high cholesterol, high blood pressure, obesity, diabetes, hepatitis, cirrhosis of the liver, these are all just a stone's throw away unless you put the brakes on and do some lifestyle changes. Other complications that could arise, inflamed gallbladder, appendicitis, pancreatitis. So if you are if you're an alcoholic, you can count on these complications actually. And the likelihood of a sugary high death rate if you're eating a lot of sugar, yeah, not good, not good. So basically, we have to get a grip on our lifestyle because what you put in the body has an effect, good or bad. So you can reverse fatty liver with some discipline and control. There's really no quick fix. It's going to be a work in process. You want to avoid alcohol and you want to avoid sugar. And you want to eat healthy, get more fiber, vegetables, lean types of meats, regular exercise. You can layer in some liver cleansing if you want, using milk thistle and some barberry bark to help cleanse the gallbladder. So the milk thistle is an antioxidant that helps the liver regenerate and replace sick cells with healthy new ones. So I love milk thistle. They actually have given milk thistle to lab animals that they were testing, I think, poisonous mushrooms, Frank. You mentioned mushrooms earlier. And the lab animals that got milk thistle didn't die from the poison mushrooms. How about that? So, also, people with fatty livers usually low on energy, so exercise is a bit of a challenge for them. So, personally, I would go with the Mediterranean diet. Definitely going to be one that you can adopt very easily and stick with. Okay, you'll like it. Protect you from cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and fatty livers. Now, if you're looking for some milk thistle for the liver, barberry for the gallbladder, some ginseng for a little bit more energy, some nutritional mixes if you're low on, if you're malnourished, then it's body food mix. All these things are wonderful, and they're at the powerherbs.com website. The folks at Apothecary Herbs have this product line that they make. It's totally organic and TIL certified. So professional strength, definitely. So, you know, going organic every day for you is pretty much their mantra. Total organic. So give them a call at 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Get their catalog. Sign up for their newsletters. If you have email, they're free. And get empowered and definitely stay well out there. So they're going beyond organic at Apothecary Herbs. And if you want professional strength, game changer formulas, that's who you go to. All right, we got a few minutes. So we're going to be talking about, I've been getting some calls again about dry eye. And people are asking questions about floaters and stuff. Let me ask you, Frank, do you know what a floater is? Do you know what causes the eye floaters that kind of flow in front of your visual field and looks like a dark, hazy blob? Some people think, well, maybe it's an eyelash. Some people just don't know. He knows what it is, Frank says, but he doesn't know what causes it. Well, a floater is a piece of vitreous gel that breaks loose and floats around, and it gives you that floater thing. We're getting more calls about this because people are stressed out with the COVID-19 thing. And you have 6 outer eye muscles. And when they get tight due to stress, it puts tension, especially on the retina, which is attached near the vitreous body of your eye. And a little piece of vitreous gel, because it gets tense and it gets torqued and it just pops right off. And it just floats around. So we're going to talk about eyes. And dry eye, and what I do for that, what I think people are amazed to find out, it's so doable. In the United States, we've got 20 million people that have dry eye and floaters and a lot of other symptoms that go with dry eye. That's 40% of the people have this condition on a regular basis. Now, a lot of times it could be from eye strain, blue lights from tablets, computer work. You could be working, I don't know, in an office that has, you know, ceiling fans on. They're blowing all day. Or you're in air conditioning, and the air conditioning vent blows on you all day. And it can dry out your lipid layer of your eye. And you get, what is it called, a dry eye. Women over the age of 45, especially if they are menopausal, have more dry eye. And they recently discovered that the veteran population, the vets, higher risk of dry eye as well, all the chemicals, I guess, they were exposed to. So if you have dry eye syndrome now, medical science is stating you have a 76% risk the condition will get worse over time. So why are a lot of people having this problem? It's kind of a new condition in modern day. You know, they didn't discuss it 50 years ago. Dry eye syndrome started to gain medical attention in the 1980s. Research really didn't start to look at the condition until the 1990s. And many physicians feel that dry eye syndrome, they think it's a psychosomatic disease. I think it's all in your head. In the 1991 study, though, doctors list dry eye syndrome. It was increasing in incidence among people with cataracts and diabetes. So dry eye syndrome prevents the wearing of your contacts and can affect eye surgery, increasing the risk of infection. So we're going to take a closer look at this and see how we can skip it all together. And some of the symptoms, according to medical experts, there are lots of symptoms, 12 in particular, that are associated with dry eye. Or the keratoconjunctivitis sicca, known as dry eye. It's a Latin for dry eye, inflamed eyes. That's so. So dry eye means you got a lot of swelling and a lot of inflammation of the eye, but people aren't usually told that when they go to their eye doctor, but that's what it is. So eye physicians tend to grade each of the symptoms that you get with dry eye on a scale of 1 to 4. And the symptoms are made worse when there is smoke in the air, a lot of particulates, dust. So if there's a low humidity, so as soon as you get dry winter weather or you turn on your dehumidifiers for air conditioning, it tends to make dry eye worse. Also dry heat too. So if you go the other way, dry heat, like wood burning stoves, fireplaces. Again, we mentioned the ceiling fans that often are above your head in the summer months. So all these things can contribute. So people with dry eye often are saying the condition is worse towards the end of their day. Their eyelids feel very heavy. It's hard to keep their eyes open. You ever been there? Like it's like just hardly past dinner and you're sitting on the sofa. You can't even get past the news. You got to go lay down and close your eyes. Part of dry eye is you can't keep your eyes open. They get heavy. So if a person with dry eye has floaters, it gets worse. The floaters make dry eye worse. Very common if you're nearsighted. And as you age, floaters become more common if you're nearsighted. And nearsighted means you have poor distance vision. So dry eye can also cause blurry vision. And it seems that dry eye syndrome can also include eyes that tear up too much or not enough. If you get a lot of inflammation, conjunctivitis, you may have one eye tear and the other one not so much. And this could lead to a condition called ipiporia, which means the eye can't drain sufficiently. And if it's not corrected, you can get a cornea surface disease. So you always want to have those things checked by your eye specialist if you have dry eye syndrome. One test you can do without rubbing your eyes, do not rub your eyes, is close your eyes and put the pads of your fingers right over your eyes. So like your middle finger is longer, so it may actually rest on the bridge of your eye, the bone above your eye. That's fine. So you can just find a gently feel the eye with your eyelids closed, and you can tell if one eye bulges more than the other just by feeling. So then you know if one is bulging more than the other, you know, it may have more inflammation in that one. Okay. Plus another thing, stress affects this a lot. The more stressed you are, the more this symptom is going to flare up. So here are some of the conditions that tend to define dry eye. Your eyes feel dry, of course. You have to use wetting drops. Foreign body sensation in your eye, like maybe a little grit in your eye. Sand, you feel like you got some eyelash. You feel like you got something in your eye. If you have blood in the eye. Or eye irritation, where your eyes are red a lot. Mucus discharge and itching. Watery eyes or excessive tearing. Sensitivity to light and blurry vision. So all symptoms of dry eye. Now, I don't know how many out there are listening to this and you go, well, that sounds kind of like what I got. How about this? When it really gets bad, dry eye gets really bad, you go to bed at night and your eyelids stick to your eyes. That's bad. That's bad. So what is causing more people to have this? Well, this condition can evolve. It can involve also your glands of your eye that cause your eyelids to become red. Also the mucous membranes that cover the front of the eye and lines the side of your eyes, providing that lubricant, that mucosa, and also to help with tears. That can get reduced, and then your eyelids stick to your eye. So if your glands are not functioning well, it causes conjunctiva. So the gland also provides immune surveillance to prevent infectious microbes from entering your eye. So if you've got dry eye, maybe a nightmare to wear a mascara and all kind of eye makeup, because you can get more of an infection going. Medicines you may be on could be contributing to dry eye. Antihistamines, beta blockers, contraceptives, glaucoma medicines, antidepressants, diuretics, and hormone medicines. They could be promoting it. Also medical conditions that increase your risk of dry eye. A lot of patients that have certain conditions say they're at a higher risk of it. Rheumatoid arthritis, thyroid conditions, lymphatic diseases, post-traumatic stress disorder and depression, lupus, and rosacea, which is adult acne. If you got adult acne, stay away from chocolate, antibiotics, warm, steamy showers, and hot, spicy foods, and pickled and fermented foods and marinated foods, because it'll make your adult acne, rosacea worse. Some of the other irritants, people with dry eye often say computer work irritates them. You're not blinking enough. You hold your eyes open too much when you're doing that. You may want to get, the screen blocker to diffuse that blue light on your screen to help out. Do whatever you can to reduce the strain and tiredness of your eyes. So you want to also reduce your alcohol consumption, your caffeine, because it constricts blood flow to the eye. The caffeine does. Contact lenses, you may not be able to wear them. You may have hormonal changes if you're going through menopause or you're on hormone medicines. High altitudes make it worse. So if you're going to Colorado and you're seeing your dry eyes worse there, that's why. Vitamin A deficiencies, eye drops that remove the redness like Visine can contribute more to dry eye. You need to switch to a different drop, and I'm going to recommend the Cinemir and Monomia drops that you can purchase. If you've had LASIK eye surgery, if you have droopy eyelids, any eye trauma or bulging eyes, often your bulging eye can also indicate a thyroid problem. Also, you want to avoid those dry, drafty environments, fireplaces, smoky, dusty. Avoid rubbing your eyes. Avoid cortisone-type products. Avoid prescription ointments for skin conditions, especially around the inflammation, redness of the eye, because it increases the risk of glaucoma, a lot of those prescription ointments. And some sundry and cosmetic makeup products make your dry eyes worse, like I mentioned. So avoid also prolonged exposure to ceiling fans and air conditioning and vents. So if you're in the car and it's hot, try to make sure that vent's not blowing on you. So often a lot of patients complain of dry eye when they have taken drops from the store, some over-the-counter stuff. I think an over-the-counter product that I think is better than most is the Bausch & Lomb Soothe. Okay. But for dry eye, the number one I like is the Cinemir Monomia drops. They're made from an organic plant and they come from Germany and they are 10 times better. They also have the nutrients for the eye, the overall health of the eye, and help with floaters, help protect the lens of the eye, the macula. Whole shoot and mats. It's just the nutrition the eye is starving for kind of thing. So definitely, if you're on the website, thepowerherbs.com, go to under eye health and they'll have the Cinemir Monomia drops there. They're $22. It's a month worth of drops and it will just be a game changer if you are suffering from the dry eye. Let's see. One of the other things is a lot of people say, well, I'll just get that anti-inflammatory dry eye Rituxan drug. It's been on the market since 2003. Monthly cost is $325. But the side effects are redness, blurry vision, itching, burning, stinging, excessive eye discharge, feel like you have a foreign object in your eye, lots of allergic reactions, and dysfunction of the glands of the eye. So I wouldn't take that at all. That's just me, though. I'd stay away from that. A lot of research on the Rituxan showed it supposedly helped 72% of the people with dry eye, but I beg to differ. A lot of side effects are not really promoting a resolution. They're actually exacerbating it. So take some protective measures. Look at your environment. If you're at home and air conditioning's on, get those vents from the hardware store that diffuse the air blowing down on you and it blows out. So it's not like at your desk, at the dining room table, at the kitchen, at your bed. It's not just constantly blasting you and drying out your eyes. You can do that. I mean, they're little glass sleeves that go on your vents that are on the ceiling, if your vents are on the ceiling, and you can diffuse that air from blowing directly down on you. So you can take some protective measures like that. Also get some fatty acids, the omega-3 fatty acids. There was a journal article in Clinical Interventions, and they said a lot of fatty acids in fish oils help improve dry eye. So eat more of your salmon and mackerel and things like that. So you might want to eat several servings of fish a week, 4 ounces or more, if you want to get those omega-3s going. It reduces your dry eye by about 60% when you do that. Hot compresses are okay. That's why you feel a little bit of relief in the hot, steamy shower. It helps to stimulate the glands of the eye, and it produces more lubricant. That's why when you get up in the morning, you probably look forward to the shower. But you need those eye nutrients, and that's why we love the Cinemira, because it's eye nutrition that's really helping the eye. Helps with the floaters, helps with all those symptoms of dry eye. Helps protect the lens from proteins from sticking, causing the cataract, and it's a nice to have. So if you want to go to the powerherbs.com website, it's there. You can call them toll free to order. It's 866-229-3663, and tell them you want the Cinemira drops. I'll spell that: Cineraria, and they're $22.75. Okay. Month's supply of drops. So definitely pick up some of that. We're also at Apothecary Herbs, we're looking on some other herbal nutritional elements that we've been researching for, things like cataract and dry eye. So hopefully in the future we'll have some other things that you can take internally, as well as using the drops topically to help you get where you need to be and reversing a lot of these problems. So thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Give them a call and ask for their free product catalog. It will be mailed to you free of charge, and get empowered. That's right. They're going organic every day. They're going beyond organic every day for you over there at Apothecary Herbs. Well, I'm out of time, so the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.